armor of God. The whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 through till 18. That's in pages 1160 in the Pew Bible. 1160 in the Pew Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll go verses 10 to 18, please. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints.
Thanks, George, and good morning, everybody. As John mentioned earlier, my name's Mark. I'm one of the elders here, and you have the privilege for my annual sermon. It's about once a year I get up here and give it a go. So thanks for coming along this morning, and my prayer is that you'll be blessed by hearing God's good news to us today. Before I make a start, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good news held in your word, and we thank you for the truth in it. And Father, as we examine this book of Ephesians this morning, chapter 6, I pray, Lord, that you will be glorified, that your word may be further known to us, that our faith will increase, that we will love you more, and most of all, Lord, that we are ready, that we are armed to be able to stop and extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, because we have you in our heart, and we are ready, Lord, to face what comes our way. Thank you, Father, that you never leave us or forsake us, that you are with us in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so some of you might know that I enjoy fishing. And when I go fishing, I know I need to bring fishing rods. That really helps. But on those rods needs to be a bit of line. I need to have the sinkers, the hooks. I need to remember to take the bait, a few knives, and lots more important fishing stuff, so that I'm ready to battle that massive fish. Even though I mainly catch small ones, I've always got that rod in the boat that's ready to catch the big one. I remember once when we were living in Darwin, I caught a black jewfish, and it was 1.2 metres long. I'm not kidding. And it weighed 22 kilos. It was close to a 1 hour battle to pull it in, but I was prepared. I was prepared for that battle. I do have a photo as evidence. I'm not making this up. I had all the gear. I thoroughly researched how to catch a jewfish. I looked at the best fishing spots to go, and I was prepared for the battle of the jewfish. But today we're looking at quite a different battle, aren't we? And I pose a question to each of us. Are we ready? Are you ready for this battle? When Paul wrote this letter of Ephesians, he was in a Roman prison. Paul would have been surrounded daily by Roman soldiers. The Roman soldiers would have been suited up in full armour, always ready for the battle. When writing chapter 6, Paul would have had these images in mind as he writes about the war, the battle, and the armour that Christians, that we need in this world. Last week, John spoke about who we are in Christ, our blessings in Christ, that we are chosen by him and that he has given us the Holy Spirit. Throughout the book of Ephesians, the book speaks about our salvation in Christ, how we belong to him, and how we are to live as Christians. Today, here we are at the end of the book, It's interesting, isn't it? Last week we start at the beginning, now at the end, and over the next few weeks we'll get to the middle. But at the end of the book, right at the verse there, in verse 10, it says, "Finally." Finally, now what we have heard in this book and how we are to live as Christians, it's not going to be easy. It's like a battle, it's like a war, and we must be equipped. Paul closes this letter in chapter 6 with both warning about the battle, and he's going to give us some instructions on how to win it. Preparation is a key to a lot of the things we do in life. In the kids' talk, I talked about how we need to be prepared and how we need to be equipped if we're working in construction. A soldier going to war would need different items and different training. If we were going off to a war or a battle, you need to be trained, you need to be equipped, and you need to be ready. Most importantly, you need to know who the enemy is. You need to know the tactics of the enemy. What strategies does the enemy use? Who's helping the enemy? Know the schemes of the enemy, and maybe what has worked in the past to defeat the enemy. These verses are talking about the battle we are in, and who our enemy is, and who is helping us defeat the enemy. The first point is to know our enemy. Know our enemy. Who are our enemies? Who are your enemies? It's easy, isn't it, to label someone as our enemy, or maybe to label a group of people as our enemy. Sometimes it feels like we're surrounded by enemies. That might be people at work, people at home even, people at school, or even the government. Often people think everything would be better if it wasn't for this group of people or that person. Maybe that might be Putin or Bill Gates or a family member or a work colleague or even other earthly opponents. But that's to make a fatal error that Paul seeks to correct in this passage. These people, who we might consider our enemies, are pawns in an even greater battle. Think about that person who makes your blood boil. That person that seems to be opposed to everything that we hold dear. That person's not the real enemy. These are the people that we want to see saved. These are the people we're praying for. So who is the real enemy? Let's read verses 10 to 12 again. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." In verse 11 and 12, we read there that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That's our human opponents. It's the battle against the devil's schemes. The battle we are facing is a supernatural battle overseen by Satan himself and his legion of fallen angels and his forces of evil. Our real enemy, as Paul describes here, is Satan himself. So who is Satan? Who is Satan? The Bible defines Satan as an angelic being who fell from his position in heaven due to sin. Satan is completely and utterly opposed to God. Satan does everything in his power to try and stop God and to stop God's purposes. Satan hates God, and Satan hates anything that God considers good. Sometimes it's easy, isn't it, to forget about Satan. We just get distracted by the people who we think are our enemies and forget the true enemy. But the Bible is clear. It says Satan is the ruler of the kingdom of the air. He controls the nations, he controls governments, and he controls criminals. In fact, all who are of this world are under his control. He opposes the gospel and actually makes it harder for people to accept it. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 it says, Satan, the god of this age, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. No wonder sharing the gospel is so hard. Let's look at how else the Bible describes Satan. We know that he's been active since the beginning of time, ever since he was there in the garden and tempted Adam and Eve to eat, which they did, the forbidden fruit. Throughout the Bible, Satan's called the ruler of the demons. He opposes God's work. He hinders God's servant. That's you and I and all believers. He obscures the gospel. He snares the righteous. And in 1 John 5, verse 19, he, Satan, holds the world in his power. He holds the world in his power. That's quite scary, isn't it? So what should we do? Throughout this passage, we must stand. And who are we standing with? Remember those words in 1 John 4, verse 4, that says, "The one that is in you is greater than he that is in the world." That's right. Satan should not be able to touch us as we are standing in Christ. Satan cannot snatch us away with his wicked schemes. There's the great hymn that some of you will know, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." This Christ knows our struggles, he felt them. He is our example as to what the full armour looks like. So when temptation comes your way, the temptation to lie, the temptation to steal, the temptation to look at porn, the temptation to gossip, the temptation to be selfish, the temptation to be filled with pride or to lust, drunkenness or other temptations. When these things come our way, we can stand. Satan is the great deceiver. We don't always plan to do sinful things, do we? The things that oppose God. We can so easily fall victim to Satan's wicked schemes. So, we must stand. The word stand is mentioned in verse 11, twice in verse 13 and in verse 14. What does it mean to stand? We often hear the term to make a stand, to be an upstanding citizen. And when you look at the military, the soldiers who are on duty are mostly always standing. The word stand is about being ready, not being complacent, not being lazy, not drifting away with the fairies, leading a life with sin. Stand firm in the passage, as it says in the passage, because on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. In verse 10, right there at the beginning, we are told to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Thankfully, we have the best commander, Jesus Christ himself. Jesus who will never leave us or forsake us. Jesus who has already defeated the enemy on the cross. Jesus who lived among us. Jesus who was tempted by the enemy. He faced the full force of enemy. Jesus taught us and set an example through his actions how we are to defeat the enemy. Again, as I did earlier, I pose this question. Are you ready? Are we ready for the battle? If the answer is yes, we had better get armed for the battle. Let's now put on the armour. Let's take a look at this Roman soldier. Paul would have been too familiar with these guys. In the verses, he uses items of protection that they wore as a metaphor for us in the battle we have with the evil one. Let's read again about the armour in verses 13 to 17. "Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." In verse 13, we are told to put on the armour. This is not if you feel like putting on the armour. We are being obedient to Christ when we put it on. Nor are we to just put a little bit of it on. It's not just the helmet or it's not just the belt. We are to put on the full armour of God. A soldier who goes into battle missing a part of his armour, or when the armour is weak, is being in peril of being struck down by the enemy. We all need the full armour, and it needs to be in good nick. Why? So we can stand firm when the day of evil comes, so that we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Those arrows might be distrusting God, forsaking obedience, disunity in the church, division, maybe listening and adhering to false teaching, or falling trap to the temptations I mentioned earlier. As individuals and as the church, the flaming arrows are unrelenting, and the church is not immune, and as individuals we are not immune. So we need to stand firm and put on the full armour. So what are these items of armour? We've got the belt of truth. A soldier often would be wearing a tunic of loose-fitting clothing. This tunic would often get in the way when facing a battle. The soldier would have to gather up the tunic and tuck it into his belt so that he could run quicker into battle. We can run and face battles when we have truth tucked into our belt. Truth helps us see through Satan's lies by holding them lies up against the truth of the Bible. Jesus Christ called Satan the father of lies. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When Satan deceives us and lies, it's consistent with his character. In John 8 verse 44, we read, "Not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is the liar and the father of lies." Being armed with truth helps us see that Jesus is the way, that Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life, not the devil's wicked schemes. We see the breastplate of righteousness. This was often a tough, sleeveless piece of leather and metal, covering the soldier's torso, protecting the heart and other vital organs. Righteousness is being right with God, or being holy. A righteous life stems from a righteous heart. Holy is being set apart. When we are righteous and set apart for God, the breastplate is ready for battle. We are told in these verses to have our feet fitted with readiness. Just like in the kids' talk, not wearing steel cap boots would have kept my feet from being crushed on many occasions. So here it is in the battle, the Roman soldiers would often have nails in their boots to give them grip during combat. To stand our ground, we need to have good footing. In Peter 3 verse 15, we are told to be prepared to give an answer to everyone for the hope we have. What is that hope? As these verses say, this hope is the gospel of peace to a world which increasingly succumbs to the chaotic ways of the devil, which lacks any hint of peace. We are told to carry the shield of faith. These were often big shields that would cover a soldier's entire body, often made of wood and also leather. The leather would act as a flame retardant to stop the flaming arrows of the enemies. Our trust in God, his word, God's promises can help shield us from the temptations of this world, from the temptations of the devil, his flaming arrows. It is our total reliance and unwavering faith in God that is our shield. So I want to ask all of us today, how well built is your shield? How is your faith? We are told to put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet, of course, protects the head in battle. Satan wants to get into our head, doesn't he? He is the great deceiver of our minds. He wants to question our assurance of salvation with doubt and discouragement. As Christians, we must be aware and confident of our salvation. Satan has no way in because we belong to Christ. Is our salvation sure? Is your salvation sure? Is it as sure as the weight of as a heavy helmet on your head? We are told to carry the sword of the Spirit. This is the only weapon mentioned in the passage. All the other items are items for protection. The sword was one weapon the soldier needed. And it's all what we need too. The Word of God. The sword, the Word, is more powerful than any of Satan's devices or schemes. The sword needs to be sharp, and the Holy Spirit enables it to be sharp. The Spirit equips us to be righteous, to know the truth, to have faith, to know peace, to be sure of our salvation, and to be ready. How are we in sharpening the sword? If you haven't got a New Year's resolution, or you don't think you need any, here's maybe one that you can make as your resolution for this year: to sharpen your love for God's Word, to sharpen your sword. And I've got five ways you might be able to do that. One is to hear. Listen to it. Listen to God's Word on the way to work. As you have a spare moment, listen to a good sermon. There are many ways that we can commit to hearing more of God's Word. Read it. It's on your phones, it's on your tablets, it's on the shelves at home. I'm sure that many of us have got more than one Bible sitting around, so we can read more. Study it. Get a good commentary. Open the scriptures more. Look more into depth of what God is saying in His Word and how to live. You could memorize it. Make a goal to memorize scripture. It's a great exercise, for the Word then is on your heart and mind at all times, and it can be ready on your lips when the flaming arrows come your way. Meditate, pray, think, be still, and know that He is God. What does each word mean? I remember last year at church camp, we looked and read at the whole of Psalm 119. And this is a great psalm to study and to meditate on God's Word. Which one or all of these can you commit to sharpening this year? Now, we've talked about the armour. We've got the armour. And I ask again, are you ready? Are we ready for battle? Not quite. Not without prayer, as is mentioned in verse 18. Let's read verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Prayer is not a last minute add-on. It says here it is to happen on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And we are told here to keep on praying. Just like the armour, you need all of it, not just a bit. Prayer is not an optional extra. We need it. Prayer is like the glue that holds all the armour together. Through prayer, we can hold up that shield of faith. Through prayer, we can swing the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Through prayer, we can better understand the truth. Prayer is the communication channel with the one who is actually sending us and equipping us for battle, God Himself. It is useless going into battle if there is no communication with the commander. Prayer is vital to the success of the armour and the weaponry. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us and enables us to pray. We are to pray on all occasions, regularly, devoting ourselves to it, through our difficulties, through our temptations, for the things we are thankful for and for the things we need. It says there, all occasions. All occasions. How are we going in praying on all occasions? With all kinds of prayers and requests. Are our prayers filled with thankfulness and gratitude? Are our prayers adoring our great God and all He has done to equip us with salvation, truth, faith, and righteousness? Often our prayers can be mostly physical requests. Whilst important, we should not ignore the more important spiritual side. Pray for your character growth. Pray for weaknesses in your life and in the lives of others. Pray for strength against temptation. Pray for the salvation of friends and family. These verses say, and importantly, we are to pray for others, it says there, for all the Lord's people. There are Christians all around the world and even in our own country that are facing persecution as the battle is at hand. Pray for the persecuted church. Pray for your friends, for your family, for your pastor, for the elders, for people at work, for our children and our young people. Pray that the armour can be ready and the sword can be sharp. These verses also talk about being alert. We need to realise that the evil in the world is all around us. We need to be alert to the enemy, alert to our own flesh, alert to the circumstances around us. So let me add one more to the list of five mentioned earlier. Hear, read, study, memorise, meditate, and pray. And always remember, on Christ, the solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I'll ask the question again. Are you now, are we now, ready for the battle? I'll just go back to that fishing trip, because I missed a few details. My brothers were on that trip with me. Kelly and I were living in Darwin, and my brother flew over from Perth, and my other brother from Tasmania. And my job was to set all the lines for the trip so that they were baited, that the hooks were on right, the sinkers were in place, and it was set with 60-pound line. We were armed and ready to catch all the big ones that day. My eldest brother was visiting from Tasmania, and he was so keen to catch one of these delicious fish. Then he hooked one. It was on for young and old, and his line went tight and made that noise. If any of you are fishermen and you hear that, that is great. He got it near the boat, then nothing. It disappeared. The reason why, I didn't tie the hook on well enough, and it came undone. The knot came undone. And from 27 metres down, you're pulling this thing up, and it was that far from the boat. He was sad. I was feeling bad. It was the big one that got away. There was a chink in the fishing armour, and it meant missing out. That line was not ready. That line was not prepared. Today we have heard about being prepared and about being ready for this most important battle, because the battle is here and the battle is now. What are the chinks in your spiritual armour, in my spiritual armour? What needs more time? What needs more devotion? What needs our attention and preparation? Is our armour ready to extinguish all, not just some, but it talks in here, all the flaming arrows of the evil one? Clean up our armour. Pop on our armour. We are definitely going to need it. No one, not one of us, is immune from the deceitful flaming arrows of the evil one. But we can, and we will deflect them with Christ, because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. I ask the question again, are you ready? Are we ready for the battle? Yes, we are. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And what a comfort that is. Let's pray. Father, thank you that Christ is in us and that he is greater than the devil and his wicked schemes and the flaming arrows. Father, help us, strengthen us, equip us with the armour. Strengthen the armour where it's weak, Lord. Mend us. Father, I pray that each of us, as we go into this year, may be ready to glorify you, to be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, and know, Lord, that you will never leave us or forsake us, and that you are with us always. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.